Tonight we're privileged to have a very, very special guest speaker. He flew all the way in from Maine last week. We have Brother Chris Whitney. He's going to come. And throughout the summer, we have a few of the men scheduled to speak. And I know Mr. Whitney does a good job in chapel with the young people. And he always has them get their Bibles ready and hold them up. And he says the verse, and they have to try to find it. And sometimes it takes a little longer than normal. But he always does a good job with them. And we are looking forward to him preaching tonight.
Okay. Everybody have your Bibles? Got them up? No. Okay. You can see I got my glasses on. New glasses. That means I'm getting old. Okay, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 tonight as one of our passages. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. For our visitors, I normally don't preach, so don't judge our church on my ability because that would be a poor judgment. So anyway, we'll do our best, and the Lord will bless like He always does His Word. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love to us. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to hear Your Word tonight. I just pray that You would put Your Word into action, that You would use my voice to get forth what You would have for us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at chapter 16. We're going to be in verse 15. Chapter 16 and verse 15. And He said unto them, this is Jesus talking to His disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But He turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." We look back at the beginning of our scripture reading here. We see in verse 15 that Jesus asked His disciples, "Who am I?" And who speaks up but Peter? Peter is the only one that says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus praises him and says, "Simon, the Lord has revealed this to you. It has not come from flesh and blood, but it's come from heaven. And He said that you are the rock of my church." Let's look here at the passage of Scripture again. And He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," verse 17, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What a tremendous honor the Lord Jesus bestows upon Peter here. He says, you know, "The Lord, Father in heaven, has revealed this unto you. You're going to be the rock of my church, and upon this church am I going to establish it, and I'm going to give you the keys of heaven." All right? And then He charged His disciples in verse 20 that he should tell no man that He was Jesus Christ. Moving on down in the passage, we see here, from that time forth, Jesus starts showing His disciples the things that He is going to suffer. And He says here in verse 21, how that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter does not want to hear this, does he? Peter does not want to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be killed. And the interesting thing that I find in this passage is that He's going to be killed not by the Romans, not by worldly people, but He's going to be killed by the church or the religious people of that day. The elders and the chief priests are where His trouble is going to come from. And Peter, being quick to defend our Lord, what does he say here in verse 22? "And Peter took Him and began to rebuke the Lord. And he says to Him, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.'" And I want to praise Peter for this statement right here, because he was quick to defend our Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of a loyal subject of a king and how he is quick to pull the sword to defend with his own life his Savior and King, or an earthly king. And I think that's where Peter is coming from. In this quick moment, he's like, I now have my Savior here on this earth. I'm going to do all that I can to protect and defend my Lord and Savior. And let's look and see what the Lord says to Peter in verse 23. But he turned and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. Ouch. That would be a very hard thing to take. After 1 minute, the Lord is praising you for being the rock of his church, and the next minute he's calling you Satan. And I think that was kind of a slap in the face, wouldn't it be, for Peter to realize, hey, maybe I'm not thinking biblically. Yes, he was quick to defend the Lord Jesus Christ and want to preserve him, but he had one major flaw that he did not follow through, and that was he didn't savor the things that be of God, but those things that be of man. Peter was quick to defend our Lord Jesus Christ in body, but he was forgetting the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came for a purpose, and that purpose was to die so that all of us may come to know him as our personal Savior. Let's look at another passage of Scripture on down in Matthew chapter 26. And we see here, Peter again is quick to defend our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at 26 and verse 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. This is Judas. And I like the Lord's response here. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? The Lord Jesus knew that he was a rat all the time, but he called him friend and asked him, Where are you coming from? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which was with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. You know, Peter, I think, was not a very good aim with the sword, was he? But you know what? He was the only one that was quick to pull the sword to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one problem with that is he was still not savoring the things that be of God, but the things of man, right? He wanted to defend the Lord Jesus Christ as his earthly king, and forgetting the fact that he is here to actually die on the cross so that he can save men from their sin. But I do want to praise Peter for this. He was the only one that was quick to pull the sword, to stand up when religious leaders and people of his time were going to attack the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this day and age, when all the things that we see in our country and in the world today, I think we need to be quick to defend our Lord Jesus Christ, to be quick to defend the Scriptures and what we stand for, to defend the ancient landmarks that have been set forth for us from the foundations and the start of our ministry, as well as Christian ministries across this nation. Let's look at another passage of Scripture here on down. And I want to show you a passage of Scripture where Paul has to stand up and confront Peter, the rock of our church, of the church. Let's look in Galatians 2. The title of my message is Iron Sharpeneth Iron. And I want us to see here in chapter 2 the biblical way of handling different situations, and that we need to be quick to stand up and to confront things that are not right. Galatians 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. And we see Paul did not stand behind somebody else and talk bad about Peter. He did not go behind his back and say things. He says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Verse 15, for we who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Here we see in this passage of Scripture that where Paul had to stand up and confront Peter, the rock of the church, and confront him about his compromising. He was trying to ride the fence on this circumcision issue, and he wasn't putting all of the faith in the fact that once the Lord died for you, the works of the law mean nothing. And Paul stood up and says to Peter and told him to his face that I have issues here that we need to deal with. And he stood up and he defended what he knew was right in the Scriptures. And I think that's what we need more in our churches today, is men that will stand up and will give an account of what the Scriptures say, regardless of what other religious people are doing. I think of the ancient landmarks that were set up by Aunt Carolyn and Dr. Hobbs and the issues that we face in our school today. And one of the things that come to mind is our apparel and the issues that we have every day, day in and day out, with modest apparel on girls. And I think of Mrs. Hobbs, and the standard always used to be, according to Mrs. Pepper, when I overheard, was that a girl was supposed to kneel and her skirt was to touch the floor. And I ask you, okay, there's our ancient landmark of modest apparel. The Bible says that a woman should adorn themselves in modest apparel. I can remember as a teenager, my pastor, Pastor Brian Rebert, teaching us what modest apparel was. And he said that the ladies ought to adorn themselves with modest apparel and with shamefacedness and sobriety. And he pointed out that a woman who wears modest apparel, if she wore something that was immodest, she would be ashamed and embarrassed to be out in public in that. And that would cause her shame. And that she ought to wear something that is modest. And those are a landmark that we set up here at Santa Rosa Christian School, and we're constantly fighting it. And those pressures do not come from the world. The pressure to loosen the standard comes from Christians in our churches, in our schools, that tell you to lighten up, it doesn't matter, and that you can just go along with whatever the world says. But what I say is that we need to be as men. When you see your daughter trot down the stairs and she's got on short shorts, that you have enough guts to stand up and say no, you go back up and you change that. That's what a man does when he knows what's right in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us what modest apparel is, and that's what we ought to follow. And we as men and women need to stand up and say, look, this is what we're going to have, and this is what I'm not going to have. I also think of another instance. Mr. O'Pager was telling me, when he was a young man, he and his wife were married, and they went over to the Voigt's house for dinner. And they were all sitting around the table, and one of their children were cutting up. And Mr. Voigt said, Sonny, go take your son or your daughter and go deal with him. And he kind of chuckled about that, and he said, you know, he hit two birds with one stone. Number one, he saw to it that my child got the attention that he needed, but it also was a rebuke to him that he should have got up and said something and done something, and it shouldn't have been Mr. Voigt that had to do that. And that's a very good principle. It goes right along here with Paul. Even though the parent is right there, Mr. Voigt still stood up and said something. Look, Sonny, you need to go tend to this child. They need tending to. It took a man like that to stand up, and Mr. O'Pager remembered that. I can remember other instances in our church growing up. Pastor Rebert took me under his wing, and he would say, you know, we just don't go to the movies. And, okay, you know, I had no parents that really taught me that or knew the Bible and the Scriptures. And he said, you're going down to the movie theater and you give your money to an organization that plays rated R movies, that plays G movies, that plays PG-13 or whatever it is they have, and you're giving your money to promote that, number one. And number two, he said, you ought to avoid the appearance of evil. He said, when people see you walking into the movie theater, they don't know if you're going into a rated R movie, and they don't know if you're going into a G-rated movie. He said, and you're giving your money to them, and you're also not avoiding the appearance of evil. My sister's father-in-law has passed away now. I can remember being in his house, and on his TV, across the very front of it, he had a big old plaque that made that said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And I think of the stuff that Christians look at and watch today should not be in our homes. It's part of a father and a mother standing up and saying, we're not going to have this in our church. We're not going to have this in our homes. And we're going to stand up and we're going to do what's right. I think of other examples. Todd always uses examples of things at the ballpark. And I can remember one time Pastor Todd and I were working together one evening. I was standing out by Field 4, and I looked out of the corner of my eye, and I see Todd walking out onto Field 4 to talk to this big old burly guy. I have him in my mind's eye as this big giant, but I suppose he probably wasn't really that big. And Todd confronts him, and the guy pushes Todd, and I just took off running. You know, I'm going to save the day, you know, or something, little old 5 foot. Whatever, and I'm going to, you know, go in there and I'm going to defend the president of our ballpark and our way of life here at Gospel Projects. Well, I'll tell you right now, I probably didn't get halfway to the gate, and there's probably a dozen men that have already scaled a 20-foot backstop and down the other side to go out there and defend the president of our ballpark and to preserve our way of life. They were quick to defend our pastor and our ballpark president. And that's just an example of what we should be to defend our Lord Jesus Christ, to be quick to pull out the sword and say, look, this is what the Bible says, and this is what we're going to do. It takes the older men and the older women to teach the younger men and the younger women what is right, and to preserve those things, the ancient landmarks that were in place from way back when. I think of another passage of Scripture, Philippians 4 and verse 8, if you'd like to turn there. This is a good standard to weigh what we do and to see whether or not it's biblical. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, I can remember as a young teenager, and I had this tape of the rock music that I listened to, liked it quite a bit. And I can remember driving down the street, can see it just down the road from my brother-in-law's house, and the Lord got to convicting me about my music. And I said to Brent, you know, we really shouldn't be listening to this music. And I said, let's get rid of it. And he rolled down the window, and I popped the tape out, and I threw it out the window. And, you know, Pastor Robert again took me under his arm, and he taught us from the Scripture that, you know, what things are true and what things are honest, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, these are the things that we should have in our lives, right? We shouldn't be going and worshiping you know, the backwood boys and No Direction bands or anything like that. These things should not be in a Christian's life. We ought to be above those things so that there is a standard and that we're preserving those things for our children. I think of a wheelchair ramp. This might be kind of random, but a wheelchair ramp is designed for a person in a wheelchair to go from point A to point B easily in a wheelchair. And I think of our lives and the way we live with our families as a wheelchair ramp. And it ought to be like this. Now, stay with me. Don't lose me. When your kids are going along life and they're seeing the way we conduct ourselves it's a wheelchair ramp, either going up or down. And I don't want an easy transition for my kids to go from being a Christian and being a churchgoer and doing what's right and having their families in church to an easy transition into not going to church, to not reading their Bible, to not having good music, and to just totally living in today's world. I want there to be a huge contrast between the way we live at home and the way the world lives on a day-to-day basis, so that when they come to the point in their lives where they need to say, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, they're going to make that decision. They're going to see there's a huge difference between a Christian and between the world. And I don't want it to be easy for them to just kind of slide on into the world because there's no difference between my home and that of the world. So tonight, I want us to reconsider all the things that we allow in our lives. You know, the pressure to accept things is not going to come from the outside world. The pressure to accept what the Supreme Court decision has said is not going to come from the outside world. It's going to come from our churches who Christians have accepted the fact that, yes, they're human beings, they were born this way, and, you know, we really need to forgive them and accept this and tolerate it. That's where the pressure is going to come from. Just like the pressure to loosen your standards on your dress, just like the pressure to loosen your standards on your music or any other aspect in your life, the pressure is not going to come from the world. It's going to come from religious people that you deal with. And it's not always easy when you have people that you can look at and say, okay, well, they do that, why can't I do that? Well, this is what the scriptures say, and this is what we're going to do in my home. And I want us to close with this one thought. My daughter Nicole was down this last 4th of July, and we loaded up in the truck, and we're going to head out, going someplace to do something. And we kind of cut through Aunt Carolyn's door because I was too lazy to get out and open the gate on, it must have been the 4th of July. And Aunt Carolyn was out there in her yard by the gazebo, puttering around. And my daughter Nicole looked over there and she was like, oh, there's Aunt Carolyn. She's so sweet. I bet she's the only person I know that has never sinned a day in her life. And, you know, we kind of chuckled about it a little bit. But, you know, what a Christian heritage that is. You know, Aunt Carolyn was dressed in a skirt, covering her knees. She was out there working in the yard, tending to business, being a testimony when she knew not anything about it. And I want to say thank you for the landmarks. I'm not going to call it an ancient landmark, but I just want to say thank you for the landmarks that have been placed for my children to look at. You know, I think of Mr. Woods. Did you ever have to ask your wife if she wanted to go to church on Sunday? No. Mr. O'Pager? I don't think so. Mr. Smith? Well, honey, do you feel like going to church today? I don't think you ever had to do that. Thankfully, I have a wife that I have never asked that question to. I think of Nanny and Pop and the example that they've been. And I just really appreciate it for my family. And I just want to close with that. It's not been a message necessarily easy to hear. I stumbled around a little bit. It was not to condemn anybody or in no wise to say that our leaders in our church are not doing a great job. I appreciate our pastors and all that they do for my family and my kids and the examples that they do set. But I want us all to be ready to pull the sword to defend the Lord Jesus Christ and what the statutes and testimonies in our Bibles are. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love to us. We pray that you would help us to be a vigilant people that will examine ourselves according to your word. And I pray that you would help us to draw the sword to defend you and the things that are right in your word. I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Whitney. Appreciate that message, and pray the Lord will help us to truly stand and to fight for those things that are standards and for the truth in God's Word. Amen. Appreciate that.